From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, and hope you're doing good. Kind of winding down in September. My goodness. When you don't believe in time, time flies, because there just is no time. Tomorrow, Dr. Jennifer Daniels will be here, Andrew Goss on Wednesday, and Dr. Richard Massey. That's strange how that happens on the last week of the month. We have a lot of our regulars, Dr. Daniels and the Masseys, on the last Thursday. And then this morning you're going to have some fun. He's a good friend, and we've known him for a long time, and into some cool things. Dr. Gerald Smith, up there near Philly. He's a dentist, but much more. He's been in practice for, 50 years or something like that. And he's been researching some very cool things over these years. 50 years of clinical practice, 5,000 hours of postgraduate seminars, and he's come to some really interesting conclusions about allowing the body to heal. And these are some good things that you're going to be able to take to the bank with you, or keep at home in your safety deposit box and use them when you can. So get some notes here, get a note paper. Then, of course, you'll have the podcast you'll be able to listen to afterwards if you miss stuff, which happens here. So care to join the show? It is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Smith, as I said, is up in the Philly area. I don't have your bio right in front of me. I forgot to pull it up, but that's okay. We'll just say that you're a longtime dentist. You think that works?
That's my cover story, Patrick.
That's your cover story. Yeah, but it's ICNR International for Nutritional Research. And Doc, you're much more than a dentist. I mean, you've been branching out to other areas way back. Huh?
Oh, yeah, way back in the 80s, actually 82, when I got involved with a study group with chiropractors, and they literally opened up my horizon of what reality is all about when it comes to healing.
Yeah, when you think back on medical school, dental school, when did you go to dental school?
From 65 to 69, graduated in 69. I went into the military for 2 years.
I'll be done.
And had a chance to hone my skills.
Uh-huh. You were in dental school, and I was in the military, 65 to 69.
How about
at
that?
The same time, yeah. And came out and did radio, and you came out and did dentist stuff like that. Yeah. Boy, the technology or the information in 50 years ago with what we know about dentistry, but it hasn't changed much when it comes to mercury and root canals, has it?
Well, they still consider it safe because they're covering their backsides, basically. But it's the root of all causes when you analyze what's going on.
Yeah. Dr. Smith was in is in Root Cause, which you can go to Amazon or iTunes or and get this puppy and rent it, and he was a key player. He's one of the co-stars in the Root Cause. You met Fraser, huh? He came up and did the filming himself, the producer and writer.
Yeah, they flew in from Australia, I believe,
yeah.
And it was about 3 years ago.
I'll be done.
In April that they filmed it, actually, right in front of my office. And it really did a superb job of editing it and also, you know, getting experts to, you know, educate the people on the dangers of these issues.
Yeah. When were you first aware of the problems with root canals?
Well, back in the 80s, you know, when I started to study nutrition and came across the Price-Pottinger Foundation and then Weston Price's research from back in the 30s where they took, you know, root canal teeth, they were extracted, and then they put them under the skin of a healthy rabbit, and the rabbit came down with the same disease that the patient had. That's where they connected the dots on.
Mm-hmm. And I think Fraser said when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, I think he said there's 250 million root canals a year today. Is that number? Do you think that's close?
Yeah, it's a crazy number.
Wow. For folks who don't know, we have new listeners all the time, before we really dig into what we want to talk to today, but root canals are part of it. Give them the short story of what happens when you have your tooth root canaled.
Well, basically, you're taking the nerve and the blood vessels out of the pulp of the tooth or the crown of the tooth and the roots, and you're literally embalming a structure, a tooth. We're the only profession that embalms a structure and keeps it in the human body. Well, as a dead organ, it creates inflammation because now it doesn't have a blood supply, you know, and the inflammation then attracts pathogens to clean up the debris. Otherwise, you'd become a toxic waste dump.
Okay, so you have a dead kind of cadaver in there. In other words, the bone is, but is the root still in there, or is the root just hollowed out?
Yeah, it's kind of hollowed out. They have these little instruments where they go down into the canal and remove the contents of the nerve and the soft tissue and everything. And then they irrigate it with solutions. Then they fill it with supposedly an inert material, gutta percha and cement. And they think that this is the gold standard of technology.
And the reason they do that is so you can theoretically keep some structure of the tooth and then put a crown on it rather than take it out. Is that the idea?
No, it's to make a Mercedes payment, that's why.
To make Doc, you're such a rascal. But that's the classic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, to keep a tooth in the mouth. You know.
Actually, I prefer Porsche, you know, when I was a dentist in a past life, Porsche and playing golf. Wow. So the idea is, and that's why the bacteria gets in there, because they want to go in and kind of clean this mess up?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. When you have a vital tooth, okay, there's a flow of lymph fluid that comes out from the pulp through the dentinal tubules out into the bone. So it's like literally cleansing the tooth. It's just a separate little circulatory system. However, when the tooth becomes dead and embalmed, you know, with root canal, it goes reverse. So pathogens and toxins, because they've done studies with like India ink and stuff like that, where they, you know, followed the path and it gets sucked into the tooth from the environment as opposed to being kicked out in the tooth. So it becomes a toxic waste dump.
And these pathogens are the real. And then the pathogens, they also have poop and stuff. So it's a whole thing going on there that gets circulated in the bloodstream. And we've associated these with all kinds of things. I think one of the biggest ones that we know about more than any is the connection with breast cancer. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. Technically, one of the breakdown products of the protein is thioethers, which is literally related to mustard gas. And you have to understand that anything in the mouth, whether it be mercury that leaks out or an infection from, you know, periodontal disease, gets carried away by the lymphatic system, which is like your drainage system of the body, down to the thyroid and the thymus and then the heart and then into the breasts. The breasts have an extensive lymphatic system, and it's all interconnected with what's coming from the mouth. So the bottom line is, the more toxicity you have in the mouth, the greater the toxicity of the organs downstream.
So even toxicity with gum disease and such, root canal notwithstanding, we've learned that it can affect the arteries all over around the body and be the precipitation for atherosclerosis?
Well, you hit on a really interesting point. If you've ever listened to Dr. William Wong's work from down in Texas,
right?
Brilliant PhD, naturopathic type doctor. And the bottom line is anything that causes irritation, so if it's toxins from root canal teeth or infections from gum disease, irritation causes inflammation. Inflammation causes fibrosis, and fibrosis causes degeneration, disease, and death.
Mm-hmm.
So the secret of longevity is to reduce the irritation in the body and clean up the fibrosis that's occurring, because really the body starts to die after age 27. Why? Because the enzyme productions of the pancreas start to diminish, and it's these enzymes that keep the fibrin under control. So I'll give you a quick example. When you're, you know, 4 or 5 years old, you get cut, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
It heals up without any scar, because the enzymes literally take away the excess scar tissue. But when you're 45 years old, for example, and you get trauma, broken bone, or surgery, you have diminished levels of the enzymes, so that you get excess of adhesions or scars in the body, and that diminishes the blood supply to the tissues. And this is what aging is all about. It's so simple.
It's an enzyme thing. Are these the same enzymes we get when we eat raw vegetables and stuff?
Well, you brought up a very interesting point, Patrick. Unfortunately, unless you're growing your own food and picking it off the vine, by the time you eat the vegetable that's transported from Brazil, Argentina, California, wherever, the enzymes are diminished.
Yeah.
So you're really not getting an energy-packed food anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of folks, I know Dr. Wong, and you're a proponent of taking supplemental enzymes, the serrapeptase and some of these other guys, helping the body out.
100%. I mean, you basically have digestive enzymes, which help break down the food, you know, the protease, amylase, sucrase, and that kind of type of enzyme. But then you have systemic enzymes, which you're talking like bromelain, papain,
mm-hmm.
Nanokinase, serrapeptase. But these are the ones that work throughout the body. And the last thing that they'll focus in is on the digestion.
Oh, I see. So you take them away from food, and then they'll go around and clean things up?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like a janitorial service.
Come in. Is this similar to what the cancer fellow who left his body, who's a cool guy, we had him on so many times in New York, you know who I mean, with the enzyme.
Nicholas Gonzalez,
right. Was this a similar kind of idea that he was working with?
Well, he was basically working with Kelly's discovery from back in the 60s
mm-hmm.
of the chymotrypsin from the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting, it's great technology, and Kelly's the one that, you know, discovered that in the seventh week of gestation, the embryo that's developing, all of a sudden the placenta stops growing. And he linked it to the fact that at the seventh week, the pancreas kicks in on its production of enzymes, because the placenta is growing like cancer, because it has to attach itself to the wall of the uterus, or else the fetus falls the heck out. So he deduced that this could probably control cancer cells, and it did. And Gonzalez picked up on it and was very successful. I think he was curing about 85% of pancreatic cancer. In fact, I had a patient who had pancreatic cancer that Gonzalez cured. So it's definitely very positive approach. Now, what's very, very interesting, Patrick, is that this new generation of systemic enzymes, especially serrapeptase, is 12 to 16 times more potent than the chymotrypsin.
Okay, chymotrypsin that Gonzalez is using, or what?
Yes, that we used to use, yeah.
Uh-huh. He was doing the pancreatic enzymes, and I think he made some. So new generation of what?
Of systemic enzymes.
Oh, the enzymes that Dr. Wong has.
Correct. Yeah. He's using pharmaceutical-grade enzymes, which are much more potent than the natural occurring. Because serrapeptase was basically produced by the bacteria in the intestinal tract of the silkworm. So they basically have pharmaceutical grade, which is, again, 12 to 16 times more potent than the chymotrypsin from the pancreas.
Oh, cool. You've been in contact with Dr. Wong. If you have a chance, if you have his email, I don't think I have it any longer. I'd love to get him back on the show. It's been a long time.
And yeah, we're actually going to interview him October 2nd on our radio show and the 16th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's just...
he's great.
Unbelievable guy from the heart, and yeah. You could tell.
I met him years ago, maybe 20 years ago or longer, maybe 20 years ago when I was doing a show in Austin, and he drove up. I think he was in San Antonio at the time, and he drove up, and man, he was a strong little, he was just great. He was, I think he's a whole martial arts guy. He's a strong guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you'd shoot me his email, that'd be great.
Sure.
I'd get him back on. And I guess he got onto these enzymes because of the weightlifting thing, and didn't he, years ago?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. Yeah, he definitely was into bodybuilding and all that, but I think the watershed or turning point in his life was in 99. I believe he came down with Parkinson's. And
oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he basically reversed it with the serrapeptase. So the exciting thing is that he puts everything into perspective. So when you look at the human body, it makes no difference what disease process is present. There's a common denominator, and that's inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it be dementia, Parkinson, MS, atherosclerosis, heart disease, it's all about inflammation. And the key in the equation is remove the fibrin, so that the blood supply can get to the tissues, supplying it with nutrients, taking the waste products away, and healing. It's ridiculous. You know, everyone's swimming through crocodile-infested waters and crawling over, you know, broken glass to find the answers, but it's staring you right in the face.
Well said, but in these cases, MS and all the rest of them, the inflammation isn't it just a symptom, Dr. Smith, and you have to get to that? Other than just getting rid of the inflammation through enzymes?
Oh, I agree 100%. Okay. And my whole thrust, probably in the last 35 years, is focusing on removing the splinters. I mean, let's face it, we've all had a splinter, you know, in our past. And you could put all the mercurochrome, all the iodine, all the whatever, you know, Neosporin. It's not going to solve the problem. You're treating the symptom. You got to remove the splinter to allow the tissue to heal. And the same thing's happening with the disease process. You know, perfect example. I had a patient who had a swollen liver for 27 years, and they wanted to do a liver transplant on the guy, and he said, thanks, but no thanks. Anyway, his wife found me on the internet, brought Fred in, and when I tested him energetically, he had benzene and hepatitis B in his liver.
Hmm.
Now, for 27 years, the medical establishment couldn't figure out what was going on, and in 1 hour, I delineated the two splinters that were in his liver. He had an elevated alkaline phosphatase, which is an indicator of blood value, but it doesn't tell you what's wrong with the liver. The bottom line is 7 months later, on the nutritional program to remove the two splinters, his liver went back to normal and the alkaline phosphatase went back to normal.
Oh, so you do a liver thing and you see alkaline phosphate, whatever you call that, and
yes.
They say they have these elevated things. But you're saying even doing that with a naturopath or something, unless you really look deeper, you don't know why the liver.
Exactly.
You don't know why. And you have technology that you work with that you can really figure out why.
Yeah. So the key in the whole equation is it's like a good car mechanic or a good air conditioning mechanic. Like I had a problem with my air conditioner. The guy came out. He was a fantastic diagnostician. You know, he checked for leaks, nothing present. Checked for the level of the fluid, you know, the refrigerant, perfect, pressure was good, and he tracked it down to electronic component that was preventing the compressor from building up the pressure and driving it through the system. You know, this is, I don't care what field you're in, you got to look for the root cause.
The root cause. Oh, kind of like the movie. Okay, we're going to dig into that, and I think you have a little story about your wife and how kind of got you moved through this, and we're going to talk about these splinters and what these are with Dr. Gerald Smith, 50 years of clinical experience and thousands of hours of postgraduate seminars, and he's really been at it for a long time and just doesn't stop, man. You can tell by the way he's talking. He's just into getting to the root cause, kind of like the great film that Fraser Bailey put out. And it's called Root Cause, that I had a little hand in to help out Fraser. And Fraser talked to Dr. Gerald Smith, our guest this morning, who co-stars with my dentist, Dr. Nunley, and Dr. Freeman's in there, and some really, really cool people, Don Hewing, who I met years ago, and all kinds of great people on this whole thing about root canals. You can look at this, go to Amazon or iTunes, wherever you watch videos, and rent this or buy this. It's called Root Cause. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Good morning. We're going to dig into these splinters with Dr. Smith in a second. Here's a short clip with Wayne Blakely, the Living Streams guy. Listen to this.
Everything you eat converts to a fake, F-A-K-E, fake calcium molecule. That's what causes plaque.
Oh, so that's what causes the calcium
plaque.
Down up
that's
in your
why,
arteries.
That's why we have plaque all over our body. That's exactly why.
So if we don't have the proper probes in our small intestines and large,
right.
It mm-hmm. produces a fake, which is a form of calcium that goes in the wrong spot.
And we can't absorb it. It's unabsorbable.
Right, but that's how it ends up in the arteries.
Exactly. Body pulls that up as an amino acid, but it's a calcium. It's fake. In other words, everything you eat converts to a fake calcium molecule. When I finished this research, I was dead serious about it. I'm dead serious about this. I could not understand why Americans were alive.
Oh, you mean after seeing the way this works?
How it works. Why a male at 25 years old has enough plaque in their body to have a heart attack.
Wow. And as you know, a lot of the calcium ends up in the brain as well. So these probes are very important, according to research, and Wayne's done a lot of it. Is this one of the major keys to calcification? It appears so. We'll see. Living probiotics, many to choose from, in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. Wayne's an interesting fellow. I actually ran into him, knew him, talked to him years ago. You know, it's funny how that thing is. I think 2007, when I opened up this little Timpone's Market in Dripping Springs and found out about his products, and then kind of lost track, and the market closed, and how things come back around in the universe. And he had a child with autistic behavior years ago and was dead set on trying to help him shake this stuff off, and how he came across this technology and what he's learned about over these 15 years about probiotics, which is pretty amazing. These are human DNA probiotics that he makes in his own little kitchen, his factory, his whatever you want to call it. And they're very powerful. And there's all kinds of different probiotics with different nutrients like moringa and alfalfa and C60. That one's called the perfect molecule. The living probiotics, the living minerals. There's over, I don't know how many, like 87 minerals, I think, in the living minerals. And they're all in a probiotic form. So they're going to be absorbed. The Chibide, I think it has some of the, not sure what's in there, the mold relief, and you can spray your walls with that one, like I did, get rid of mold, and it's pretty cool. Bifido, really nice products. Many of them you can put in your ear as well, bypassing the gut, go right into the lymph thing. These are cool. They're in our store, Living Streams Probiotics, and you can talk to one of Wayne's associates. Her name is Marilyn. Get more information. If you talk to her, decide to buy some, please don't order on the phone. Go through our website and we'll get a little commish. 360-912-2981. I'll repeat it. It's 360-912-2981. We don't put a lot of things, Wayne doesn't put a lot in print because the FDNA, he's kind of on a short leash because, you know, when this stuff works, they kind of get feisty. And so we've got to be careful what we say. And so that's why we try to put all the information out here orally. We're talking with Daniel Vitalis of Sir Thrival. What's a little history on the elk velvet antler the idea? Does it go way back?
It does. Elk antler and deer antler and moose antler and all the antlers of the cervid in their velvet or young stage before they've hardened to full bone have been used as a euthanizing medicine, as a kind of libido enhancing medicine for thousands of years, particularly in Asia. We see this long history in China and then also in Russia as well. It was studied in Cold War Russia as a kind of anabolic supplement for their elite athletes. And that's where we get the base formula that we use at SurthRival. Now, we've optimized that formula using organic ingredients and really high quality packaging, but is based on that current, that modern Russian research and all the evidence that came out of that Cold War era.
Isn't that pretty interesting how these guys can grow huge antlers, the elk, and they fall off and they grow them again? It's like growing a new arm once a year. Two of them, one on each side. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And they don't hurt them. These are farm-raised. They don't hurt them. They don't put tourniquets on them or give them drugs. They just get the velvet off there and make this product. And it's a nice 1-2 punch, along with SurthRival's elk velvet antler, then the pine pollen, the one of the most richest natural source of testosterone in the world. And you put these little combos together and you better watch out. You'll start making a family again. Oh, you say you're 65 or on? Well, be careful. Don't take too much. You just kidding. Anyway, an Easter Thrival link on OneRadioNetwork.com.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Dr. Gerald Smith is with us. He's a dentist and a researcher and into all kinds of cool things on OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to join the show, it is Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. It's funny, Dr. Smith, I was kind of being silly about, got to be careful, you know, you could be 60 or 70 or so and all of a sudden become a father or something like that. You got to be careful. And then we talk with our money guy on Wednesdays, as you know, and we're thinking, man, we're really getting on to living a long time. I mean, we could probably all make 100 or 10 or 20 standing on our head the way things are going. And then you got to make sure you don't outlive your money. So it's always a challenge. Hello?
Yes, hello. I'm sorry.
There you are. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, digesting what you had said. You know, the people in the Himalayas, basically, they're living to 130, 140 years old.
No kidding, really.
Yeah, well, you know, the bottom line is they're eating real food. It's minimally contaminated. And that's what boils down to the whole disease process. It's dead food and toxins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what happened to me back in 97. My wife developed breast cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And that set me on a journey that kind of like took me to where I am today. In the Cliff Notes version, my chiropractor introduced us to the Rife technology, R-I-F-E, and we bought a unit from him, and my wife had a lumpectomy done at the time, and the pathology report said that they missed a margin, and 2 months later they scheduled for a second surgery. And during the 2 months, my wife was kind of freaked out, and she was treating herself every day with the Rife, and you're not supposed to, it's supposed to be like every other day. But long story short, when they did the second surgery 2 months later, the pathology report came back, said everything was normal. So in 2 months, using the frequency technology, the cancer disappeared. So that's really piqued my interest.
That's what's really got you going.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the light bulb went on.
You know, it's funny. I think I actually got the one that you had recommended years ago, the GB4, what was it?
4000.
Yeah, 4000. And you know, I played around with that for different things, but I never really got the, you know, any kind of healing from it. Maybe I wasn't doing enough or had the wrong frequencies. Or I don't know what I did.
Now, the deal is, again, you have to define the underlying problem.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you just can't throw a dart and then expect some miracles. See, when I do my energetic testing, we define the pathogen or heavy metal or pesticide. Once you define that, and then you can use the appropriate frequencies or, you know, herbs or homeopathics to remedy it, then you're going to get the maximum results.
Mm. So you talk about these splinters idea of, and what are splinters commonly in your and your definition of what all the splinters are.
Well, basically, you can have the xenobiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So give you, you know, examples. I have a whole list of them. Vaccines and their adjuvants. People don't realize that formaldehyde is in vaccines. It's a known carcinogen. Aluminum causes dementia. Thimerosal is ethyl mercury, which is a neurotoxin. There's fetal tissue in their animal cells. And it's just lunacy what's in these vaccines. In fact, there's also they discovered nagalase was in the vaccines, which shuts down the vitamin D3 production, which is essential to keep your immune system strong to go after the cancer cells. Hmm. So vaccines and adjuvants are like really nasty. The heavy metals, the most common ones we find are mercury, nickel, aluminum, cadmium, lead, and arsenic. You know, the chicken feed's laced with a pesticide. The chickens eat the arsenic. They don't stop eating. They develop full size in 4 weeks instead of 16 weeks. You eat the chicken, you get the arsenic.
Oh, so people, let me interrupt for a second when we, so let's, we'll pick back up on metals. So folks who go to the store and don't get grass-fed and really cage-free and, you know, chickens that are fed organic grains and stuff, they're picking up stuff from the chicken, from the eggs themselves.
Yes, absolutely. Wow.
Because of what the chicken ate?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, so and these metals, let's stick with metals for a second, Dr. Smith.
Sure.
Where do these metals store in our body if we eat things or meats or the stuff where they have the metals? Where do they store?
Well, number one, they're stored in the fat layer,
okay.
And that's to insulate and protect the body. But when I wrote my book on cancer, reversing cancer, back in the 90s, what was fascinating, I came across research by Max Donderer, a German physician, and he discovered on autopsy that the heavy metals, along with the other chemical toxins, are stored in the jawbones.
In the jawbones?
Correct.
That's strange. Even not just the mercury from the fillings, but all different metals, like when we picked up lead when we were kids from gasoline and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do they? What's with the jawbone? You're a dentist. You should be able to figure that one out.
Well, you can figure it out using quantum energy testing techniques to discern what's in the jawbone. So that's how I pick it up. And it's very accurate technology, and based on Yoshiaki Amura's work from New York, from Manhattan, and it's called direct resonance testing. Everything in the universe has a signature frequency. So you can pinpoint, so give you a quick example. Mm-hmm. I had an 8-year-old referred to me with seizures, and the bottom line was they had him on steroids, an 8-month-old baby on steroids. It was like a miniature John Belushi. The kid was wired.
Oh.
And when I told the grandfather, I knew very well, I said, I bet my diploma it's coming from the vaccines and the adjuvants. And sure enough, he had aluminum in the left side of his brain, thimerosal on the left side of his brain, tetanus in the left lobe of the thyroid, along with glyphosate, which is Roundup. It's a pesticide. Long story short, in 6 weeks on the nutritional program, the child has no more seizures.
My goodness. 8-month-old.
8-month-old, yeah.
So you can actually, you put him on nutritional program, meaning he starts to take oral things by mouth that facilitate it to get these bad.
To pull it out.
But yep. To pull it out of the brain.
Yep.
Uh-huh. What kind of things did you use for him? Do you remember?
Yeah, sure. Glutathione.
Okay.
It's a very powerful chelating agent that helps pull metal out. And basically, the mother just opened up the capsule and put it into his food and fed the child. And I'm telling you, if you go on my website, we have like 112 case studies on there, ICNR.com, and we have a video of the child sitting on the mother's lap, and she's basically telling the people that her child, after we got the toxins out of his brain, he started to sit up. You know, he started to crawl. He became interactive. You know, became a human being again.
I was under the impression that when we take glutathione, Dr. Smith, orally, that it doesn't work. But that's obviously not true.
correct. There's a lot of disinformation that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Glutathione's made in the liver?
Yes.
What are some things we can take, our listeners around the world, to juice up the liver to make more of that?
Well, the N-acetylcysteine is a big factor.
NAC?
NAC. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the alpha-lipoic acid.
Yeah.
Very important. And even more, the key components in the liver is you need superoxide dismutase, and that's from pomegranate.
Pomegranate.
So if you're eating pomegranate, yeah, you're getting SOD or superoxide dismutase. Shaga mushrooms are high in SOD. So that helps the liver to detoxify the blood, pull out the chemicals, phase two detoxification, which then puts it into the bile. And when you eat, then the bile flows down into the intestines and out of the body. The natural B vitamins are very essential, again, in the phase two detoxification process to allow the liver to break down the chemicals and, you know, get it into the bile. So the liver is your main filter, and because the blood of your entire body goes through it every 3 minutes.
So the main guys for extra for liver are NAC, SOD, and alpha-lipoic acid.
Yes.
Yeah. We had Dr. Bert Berkson. Did you know of him? Integrative health guy out of New Mexico. Really, really cool guy. PhD. He's written a lot of stuff, PubMed. And he's a real big fan of ALA. And he was telling us that you got to be careful, though, that most of the ALA out there is from China, that you really want the stuff from Germany or Italy if you want the good ALA. And we found one. And he turned us on to one. It's on Amazon. Have you ever heard of Metabolic Maintenance? That's from Italy. Metabolic Maintenance.
Yeah, you really got to be careful on the quality of the nutrients that you're using. And you can still have the best nutrient in the world. But what I've discovered back in the 80s is that every nutrient has an energy pattern. And you want to test the energy pattern for its compatibility to your energy pattern. And most of the patients I see, I'm like Last Chance Garage, they come in with 2-3 bags of supplements, and I said, look, if these were working, you wouldn't be here. And I test them, and usually 75% of what they're taking is useless.
And how do you test them?
Basically, I put the supplement on their chest while they're in my dental chair lying down, and I feel their cranial rhythm. And if the cranial rhythm remains balanced and robust, then the supplement is good for them. If it distorts the cranial rhythm immediately, then the energy pattern is not compatible.
The cranial rhythm, give us a visual of how you do that.
Yeah, kind of like an umbrella opening and closing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a pump. It pumps the cerebral spinal fluid around the brain and down the spinal cord. And that pump, you know, is affected by energetic patterns. So it's very eloquent, very accurate. I do it all the time. And, you know, there's no blood test that you can start playing around with. And this is instantaneous. It's kind of like a lie detector test.
So you could put if you could put an ALA or something maybe from China, or if the person didn't need ALA, you could actually feel if this would be a good thing to take.
Absolutely.
Well, can you dose it out doing that as well?
Oh, sure. You can determine the optimal minimal dose. See, I just don't shotgun people with standard protocols. Everyone's, you know, like a fingerprint. You have to give them a custom program to meet their needs. So with the initiators or splinters that we find in the body, like heavy metals or vaccines, we literally find what remedy pulls it out at the optimal minimal dose, the least amount, quantity, and also when to take it, with food, without food, first thing in the morning, you know, midday, mid-afternoon, before bed. It's really important that these little nuances be addressed, because the body is physiologically affected by when you give the doses and so forth. So we've had our greatest success rate by doing this type of protocol, and it's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Are there people around the world that do this kind of work that you train?
Unfortunately, very few, because most practitioners are not willing to go the extra mile to you know, develop the skills to do this. But those who do follow my protocol, you know, they, you know, their feedback is just absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
Tell the story about this lady I heard about, Carol, who with her lung.
Yeah, basically, she developed lung cancer in the right lung, and you know, traditional barbaric medicine, you know, they cut the tip of her lung off. Hmm. It's Neanderthal mentality, you know. It's, you got rust on your fender, we'll just take the fender off. Who the hell needs it, you know? Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, 6 months later, the cancer came back in the upper left lung, and she originally, you know, refused chemo or any other radiation treatment, and she was referred to me. And when she came in, I had to bring in the pathology slide. And the pathology slide, when they do any type of biopsy or surgery, they have to take a slice of the tissue and have it on a glass slide, and the pathologist, you know, evaluates it. But they're just looking at a histologic diagnosis, meaning they describe what they see, but they're not telling you what the heck is causing the problem. Long story short, I energetically test the pathology slide. She had a pesticide, cytomegalovirus, and mercury in the cancerous tissue. Put her on a nutritional program for those three splinters, and 6 months later, the cancer disappeared.
When you say nutritional program, then again, these would be different nutrients, kind of chelators that get these guys out?
Right. Well, I have a five-step program of a protocol that I've developed over a 35-year period that treats the body globally. So you have to clean the filter out first. That's numero uno. Number two...
The liver.
The liver, yeah, because that's your main filter. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we test one of nine different homeopathic drainage remedies, because first you clean out the filter, then you have to open up the sewage system so that the toxins can get to the liver, the lymphatic system. And then third, we go after the heavy metals, because if you have heavy metals in the body, you can't get rid of infections. No way. And third, we go after the chemicals and pesticides, and then we go after the infections and the vaccines at the end. So following this protocol, we have minimal Herxheimer or adverse reactions from the treatment that we do, and we have a very high success rate. Hmm.
And you say that a lot of these metals store in the jaw. I mean, would you treat it differently if they were in other... Do they store in all the different bones?
Well, not only in the bones, but it could be in the organs. Mm-hmm. See, you have your lymph nodes, your Peyer's patches and your intestines. You have your thymus, your thyroid. We find a lot of vaccines get trapped in the thyroid. Vaccines can get trapped in the liver. And traditional medicine, they're not looking for these issues. Mm-hmm.
It's September 24th, 2018, with Dr. Gerald Smith. His website is icnr.com. He has a book there that you can get. I think it's an e-book. Yeah, it's a good one. It's called Alternative Treatments for Conquering Chronic Pain, and that's on ICNR, and you can get that e-book right there. 300 pages, 72 illustrations. Man, I'm going to get that guy. And when did you write this one?
Back in 2000.
Yeah. A lot of cool stuff in there, though, I bet.
Well, yeah, because we're looking at reality medicine and not an illusion. We're not looking at blood tests. And unfortunately, blood tests have their place, don't get me wrong, but they're not telling you what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And energetic medicine is the wave of the future, because it's spot on. It's telling you what the actual splinter or initiator is.
So energetic medicine, let's break that down a minute. So you're thinking in terms that all different splinters have an energetic signature, whether it be glyphosate, mercury, lead, whatever.
And absolutely.
Is that correct? So then take it from there, how this energetic medicine matrix works.
Well, basically, it's like a fingerprint. There's no two fingerprints that are the same. And energetically, there's no two chemicals that have the exact same energetic signature. Mm-hmm. So that being said, when a patient comes to our practice, we'll take a holographic energy pattern from their palm chakra, from their palm placed on a Tesla coil, And once that's imported into the computer, then our database has 135,000 electromagnetic signatures, which then are compared to the patient's holographic energy pattern. And so we can delineate accurately what the splinters are in their body, the stressors. And then we triage or filter it down to the top 1, 2% that are causing the patient's problem. And then we direct our treatment to remove those primary initiators or splinters. It's too simple. See, that's the problem.
Too simple. You know, over the years, I've done my share of these kind of fancy machines from Germany with various practitioners where they do their little pencil on your index and your finger, you know, and all that stuff. And I never really found them. I never got a lot out of them. Most of them, I ended up buying a lot of supplements and nothing happened. How is what you're doing different from a lot of these different, I don't even know what they call these machines. You know,
which ones
I'm
referring to? You're thinking about like the EAV.
EAV and all this stuff. Man, I spent a lot of money over the years doing that stuff and never got anything out of it.
Well, the problem with the EAV is that they're not defining the causative factor. What they're showing is that there's inflammation, let's say in the heart or the liver or the spleens, for example, and then they're just giving you a supplement to treat the symptom, the indicator, but it's not the actual cause. And the technology that we're using with the CyberScan is defining the actual causative factor.
And where does this technology come from?
Germany.
Germany, man. These people have got something going on in their DNA to figure this stuff out, don't they?
Well, the accuracy is there. They're very meticulous. And, you know, we've been using it for probably at least 3 years. And, you know, the results are just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, when you can take a dog, for example, that has no agenda. They don't know if it's placebo, not placebo. And, you know, a dog has post-traumatic syndrome issues because it was mistreated mentally and physically. And after 12 treatments, you know, the personality of the dog changes. You know you're onto something.
Yeah. Do you think the vaccines are affecting the dogs just as much as they are people?
Oh, 100%. It's an assault on your immune system.
Yeah.
Vera Scrivener wrote a book, 100 Years of Assault on the Human Immune System. And, you know, it's when people wake up, here, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. sued the American government and won. And bottom line, what they admitted was that in the past 30 years, there's not been one safety study submitted on any vaccine. I mean, what's that telling you?
Yeah, what he's talking about, and we talked a bit about it, I think RFK and his organization, they did a FOIA request, right? And they didn't answer the FOIA request. So they actually had a judge force them to do it, right? And they actually said what? That they have never done a vaccine
safety study
on vaccines. Never.
In 30 years, they've never submitted any of them.
I wonder, I mean, this is such a, I wonder where he's going to be able to take this. Have you have any idea?
Well, hopefully the American people will slowly wake up to the fact that they're being hoodwinked.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving disinformation to, you know, submit their bodies to the vaccinations. I don't know if you realize it, but they've estimated that by 2025, the vaccine industry is going to generate $100 billion, with a B, billion dollars of revenue from vaccines.
Oh, it's got to be more than that now, isn't it?
No, it's less than that. But by 2025, it's going to be $100 billion.
$100 billion.
Yeah, it's probably about $20 billion, $30
billion. Is that all? I'll be done. I would have thought it would be much higher with all the vaccines they give.
Well, why do you think that they're mandating it?
In California.
Mandating it because the people are waking up and refusing to get it.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who wanted to go over and see a friend of hers. Her daughter had a baby, and the friend kind of wrote back and said something like, well, we're only allowing people to come in that have had their flu shots and had their vaccines because my daughter's being very careful. I couldn't believe it. Amazing, isn't it?
Well, people are so brainwashed.
They
you
don't
know. Exactly. They don't have a clue what's going on. And if the mother's eating clean and her milk is good quality that she's producing, mm-hmm. then the colostrum's giving the baby the best vaccine on the planet.
Yeah, we recently had Dr. Thomas Cowan on, who's got a great book on vaccines, and he told us and walked us through how by doing the vaccines, it screws up that cell-mediated or that innate immune system, right? Screws that up and then produces all these little antibodies and initiates an autoimmune response. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know what the problem is? All these chemical initiators that, we're talking about, the root canals, parasites, vitamin mineral deficiency, psychological distress, electromagnetic Wi-Fi, emotional trauma, creates intestinal dysbiosis.
Yes.
Your intestines represent 60 to 80% of your immune system.
Yes.
So, you know, eating junk food, Twinkies and processed foods and chemicals, your brain is also directly impacted because there's a direct connection with the lymphatic system and the vagus nerve between your gut and your brain.
I know.
So the more toxic your intestines is, the greater the chance for dementia.
Boy, I tell you what, I went through some tummy thing that I've worked through over the years and on colon and then stomach, and directly affected my sleep, which, God, I'm so grateful to work through it and sleeping again. But that vagus nerve must run right through there, and I can imagine it must be a key factor in all the insomnia going on in the world, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Plus, well, the parasites, you know, there was research done by Andreas Kalker. Incredible individual, and he reversed 133 autistic children just by getting rid of the parasites in their intestines. So it's a predisposing factor. And what's interesting, you could take food grade diatomaceous earth, which is relatively inexpensive, and take 1 teaspoon, mix it into 12 ounces of warm water, and you do 10 days on, 10 days off, and you repeat that cycle for 2 months. It cleanses your intestines, gets rid of the parasites, and it absorbs heavy metals and other toxins, and it scrubs the walls of your intestines, so you're like a newborn baby.
Food grade
diatomaceous earth. Yeah, that's what they use in the pool filters.
Yeah, I've heard that over the years, but I never really gave it a try like that. So do you think almost anyone listening today could do this food grade diatomaceous earth turn off for a couple months and with no problems of it being a problem?
No problems, no. It's so gentle.
So do you just Google or go on Amazon and get food grade diatomaceous earth?
Yep.
So what's the prescription? It's like 10 off, a teaspoon?
Yeah, 1 teaspoon in 12 ounces of water, warm water.
Mm-hmm.
You drink it first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, the bottom line is you do it 10 days on and then 10 days off and repeat the cycles for 2 months. And it just scrubs, all the walls and gets all the gunk off and junk. And the diatoms, which are make up the skeleton of these little ocean critters, basically slice up any parasites that are in your intestines and gets rid of them.
It's a very safe way to do that, too, huh?
Extremely safe, yeah.
I wonder, could you do that for doggies? How would that work for doggies, I wonder?
Well, absolutely. You can put it into their food, mix it in. It's no big deal. One of my son's girlfriend, she had some constipation issues, and she's actually studying to be a nurse. And what was interesting, after the first glass that she took it, she said it reversed her constipation issue.
One glass. I met a fellow about 10 years ago who I think he was 90. I mean, 85 or 90 revolutions around the sun. And I looked at his face, and his face looked like he had skin maybe, I don't know, a 30, 40-year-old? Just, kind of clear and shiny, just like. And I said, what do you eat? I mean, what do you do? You're doing something here because you don't sure look like, no wrinkles. He was an older fellow. And he said, what I've been doing is I do diatomaceous earth and aloe vera every day. I've been doing that for 20, 30 years. That's what he told
Absolutely.
Me.
Well,
that's what he told me.
Yeah, it's a great antioxidant that heals the lining. Well, I noticed since I've been doing the diatomaceous earth on myself, that I'm eating less because cleaning your intestines, you're absorbing more nutrients from your food, so you get full quicker.
Yeah. We have a fresh frozen aloe vera with no preservatives, and really nice, Doc. And I think I've gone through about 20 half gallons of that in the last 6 months. And it's, oh, man, it's great. You know, you just thaw it, you know, and pour it in a glass and gulping down. And it's called Stockton Hour One, folks, if you'd like to try it. And so, you know, that'd be great. I think I'm going to do that, but mix the diatomaceous earth right in there with that. That would be fun.
Yeah. The key is, you know, when you get to healing and get back to basics, mm-hmm. it's relatively simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this fancy gibberish that you hear from the medical establishment, they don't understand the process, and they haven't connected the dots, and they just throw drugs at you, which then really disrupt, you know, the whole physiology of the body. You know, these statin drugs, for example, they're killing people.
Yeah.
You know, the NSAID drugs, they're tearing up your kidney, your liver. They're making you more acidic. You know, when you're acidic, you have low oxygen, and the tissues need that oxygen. Now, the interesting thing that I wanted to drive home with your listening audience, and it's so simple, this whole anti-aging thing.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, if you remove the fibrin from the microcapillary system in the body, your blood pressure goes down, your tissues become more viable, your flexibility increases. See, the joke of it is, we are planned to self-destruct, and that's because of the decreased level of enzymes. And unfortunately, there's a lot of foods out there that enhance this whole inflammatory process. You know, for example, flax oil has 3 times more phytoestrogens than soy.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, a lot of it in there. Phyto, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. And so the key is there's a whole list of, you know, foods that are really, soy is terrible. And these vegetarians, they think they're doing themselves a world of good, but they're eating all these beans and grains and stuff, and they're getting all these phytoestrogens, which they're setting themselves up for cancer and all these degenerative diseases. So long and short of it is, this whole serrapeptase thing is just miraculous treatment for reversing dementia, for reversing atherosclerosis, for increasing flexibility, for getting rid of pain. I'm telling you, to me, it's the most exciting thing that I've come across in many, many years.
Serrapeptase, yeah. Who's a fellow that's really into serrapeptase we've had on a few times? You know who I mean? The enzyme guy? I don't know. Anyway.
That's why I like Wong's work. You know, I've listened to his, and this guy is so on the money with his research. There's like 200, I think, PubMed articles, you know, substantiating the efficacy, and it's safe. You know, it has a self-limiting factor so that it's not dissolving excess fibrin in the body.
Yeah. He's talking about Dr. William Wong, and we'll get Dr. back on. He used to be on years ago, and we kind of lost track of him. But he's got a great product. What's it called?
Zymescence.
Zymescence. And you can probably get that through Amazon or just go to William Wong.
Yeah.
And get some from Dr. Wong. And it's quite a good product. I just bought some and I'm going to start taking it. And I don't know if I can stand, though, if I get cuter than I am now, Doc. I just don't know if I can do it, you know. I just have to have bodyguards to just chase the girls away, you know. I
heard that, you know, you had a trouble with women banging on the door.
I know.
They wanted to get out of the hotel room.
I know. You rascal. Dr. Gerald Smith, can you stick around, Doc? We're having some
fun. Sure.
Stick around. Okay. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. He just made that up. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll get Dr. Wong back on. Yeah, I mentioned the Stockton Aloe 1, and if you go on our website, and you click on the ad there, you'll see it. It's a wonderful product. I've been drinking so much. I mean, I just, there's something magical about aloe. And I mean, if you want to go to someplace like omercola.com and put in aloe, or just Google or DuckDuckGoGo aloe, and you're going to find some stuff on there. It's like, whoa, I want some of this. Whoa, I want some of this. Whoa, I want some of this. Yeah, it's pretty cool. The minimum order is 2 1/2 gallons, and he also gives you a nice face cream with aloe for this, and you don't need anything special. Click through our website, we'll get a little commission on the deal, and he'll ship you a couple half gallons, and comes in fresh frozen. He has it all boxed up, very handsome packaging, very well done in styrofoam, and even if it's halfway slushed up when you get it, just pour some off in a glass, put it in the fridge, put the rest in the freezer, and then as you need some, just put it on the counter. Oh, and in about an hour or 2 hours, it'll be enough to pour off 16 ounces, and that's how you do it. So it's as fresh as you can be. There's no preservatives. There's no chemicals. There's nada in there, but the best healing kind of a strain of aloe vera. It's called Stockton Aloe 1. Click on it, oneradionetwork.com. oneradionetwork.com. Dr. Smith mentioned that a lot of these bad dudes store in the fat. We know that for sure. Dr. Huggins, he told us years ago that he thought once your body really gets clean with enough saunas to clear out the fat, then the fat will start then pulling from the bones because the fat has now more energy and more space to bring in the minerals from the bones. And that's pretty curious. Now, I've always believed that because I love Dr. Huggins, but I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to continue to believe it because it just makes me feel better when I'm in the sauna. And if you believe it, well, then probably it's going to work anyway, even if physiologically it's not true. But you know how I am. I think that whatever you believe is what you get anyway. Anyway, these saunas, don't get me started. These are great. Almost virtually every day of my life, I've been doing a sauna. I'm 72 revolutions around the sun. Feel like I'm about 25 or 30, and I'm gonna still have a family someday. So come on. So this is part of my regimen. I think it's worth it. Previously, with cardiologist Dr. Joel Kahn, 35 years experience in cardiology.
On your commercial break, you hit a hot button because I'm a giant fan of infrared sauna and the cardiac benefits.
Tell us about why you like these saunas for the heart. What does it do?
In Japan, it's a traditional therapy of heart disease to even sick heart patients to sit for 15 or 20 minutes in an infrared sauna, then lie down and rest and hydrate for about half an hour. They call it Waon, W-A-O-N. It means soothing heat. And they've done research studies, like 30 of them, in humans. Anti-ages your arteries and improves the strength of your heart, and it may actually prolong survival in sick heart patients. Anybody can just, again, go to the internet, read about infrared sauna heart disease, or put my name there because I've written many articles about it. Now there's data coming out of Sweden and Finland because they've published some amazing data that number of times a week you're in a sauna, number of minutes each time, you can just track out how long you're going to live. So very powerful therapy by being in, my favorite is an infrared sauna.
Well, I don't know about you, but if the heart muscles and the arteries are happy, things are good. Very important. We promote the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. Special price, not in print, $9.95, delivered continental U.S. Get your heart and keep your heart and arteries in fine shape by using the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. Email me for the special price, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Yeah, baby, they come with a nice chair. This is not a $5 camping chair. It's a real solid chair. Put a towel over it. I like to sit in a kind of yogi thing on the chair, do my spiritual exercise, put on the timer, and in case I leave my body and don't come back for a while, I won't get cooked, and the timer just goes off, and you'll sweat, and this is great technology out of Taiwan. It's won about 3 or 4 awards for the technology, so you're getting the far infrared beams, the little beams that bounce all over this space-age silver material that has colloidal silver kind of coated on it, so it resists getting bacteria. Just wipe it off, and then it also have 2 separate units on the floor, and if it gets too hot or if you just want to work your way up, you can just do one. It has a control. Just email me and I'll hook you up, and we ship them all over the world too. So if you live in the UK or Australia, Japan, we have listeners all over the world. Just email me, we can get it to you for a couple $100 with the proper plug. It's not difficult because they shipped right out of Taiwan. We ship them all over the world. It is a Relax Far Infrared Sauna. And don't be fooled by knockoffs. They have people on the interweb that Al Gore invented the week before he invented global warming in his basement. Remember that? They look like the Relax, and they sell them for $600, but they're not. So be careful. There's a lot of curious things going on in the interweb. And just send email Al Gore and complain to him. So be careful. And that's Relax Far Infrared Sauna. Email me, and we're going to hook you up. Dr. Smith mentioned Shaga and SOD, one of the key things for the liver. We have a great Shaga product. We have actually 2 of them, one with Daniel Vitalis, and Sir Thrival and Shen Blossom. Right now I'll talk about Daniel. He has a mushroom sale for the next 2 weeks. And he's had this Shaga mushroom product for, 10 years? The mushroom of immunity. Well, that's the reishi. But these Shaga is an aptogenic immune-modulating properties of Shaga mushroom. The ORAC values in the Shaga is a huge in doctrine support. And it's all in Myron glass, only fruited bodies. This is the high quality, baby. You're not getting some little Shaga mushroom off of Amazon. You have no idea where it comes from. No siree. We know Daniel Vitalis. We know Sir Thrival. We've known Daniel for 10 years. He's the real deal, and he's very careful about everything, the source, the bottling, and how they do it, and the fruited bodies, and it's cool stuff. About $10 off and $15 off the Shaga for the next couple of weeks. No promo code needed. Just any Sir Thrival link, oneradionetwork.com. Get yourself some Shaga and Reishi on oneradionetwork.com. Next 2 weeks, $10 and $15 off. Previously with Dr. Rulin Chu about her product called Pearlseum. So let's talk about the teeth first. Explain to me what's going on, because there's something magical when you dip your little toothbrush in water. Why do they look so sparkly and just, I don't know, something very energetically about the look of them.
Yeah, it's very, very magical. So like a group of scientists in France discovered that when you put the pearl next to the bones or skins or other connective tissues, and they find it stimulates new growth of the bones and skins and connective tissues, and also to make existing bones and the skins more healthy and stronger. So brush your teeth with the pearl, then your teeth will make your existing teeth stronger, and also it will filling up, you know, teeth with the pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
It's really a great product. You'll love it. Take it internally or on your teeth, and you can click an order, see the ad right there, Pearlseum, the nice green container, Pearlseum, on OneRadioNetwork.com. Man, you're going to love this for your tooth. Doctor, you're a dentist, so have you ever heard of this product? This is one of the most amazing things I've ever brushed my teeth with in the world. I mean, you got to try some of this. You're going to be amazed. Yeah, you're going to be amazed. It's from Real Pearls. Real Pearls. She's a PhD in quantum physicist, and she figured out a way how to break down these pearls in the powder without screwing up the matrix, you know, the whole crystalline thing. And it's got calcium but magnesium proteins. And you just kind of brush your teeth with it, cleans it and polishes it, and they look like you just got pearlies. I mean, you know, it's not that white thing with bleaching. It's a more hardened, glassy kind of pearl look to it. It's really, really cool. Send me your address. I'll send you some.
Okay.
Yeah, send me your address. When you send me Dr. Wong's thing, send it to me. Yeah, I'll turn you on.
Absolutely. So you mentioned a couple of really interesting things. I have my own infrared sauna, so I can back up what you're saying. It's absolutely miraculous. One little tip, you want to start cold and then build it up slowly, because you don't want to walk into a hot sauna, because you won't get as much detox reaction.
Work with me with that. See, I always heat mine up, so this is interesting information. So what did you say now we want to do?
Start cold and then just turn it up slowly, and your body will respond much better to, you know, expel the heavy metals and poisons.
Ah, where'd you get that? That's pretty cool.
From Dietrich. Uh-huh. Dietrich Klinghardt, my mentor.
Yeah, he's cool. We're due to get him back on. What do you think about Huggins' contention that when you suck it out of the fat, then the fat has more mojo to get it out of the bones? You think that could be accurate?
Well, yeah, he was a good researcher. He had a lot of good information. The fat, basically, you know, one of the problems today is that, you know, people are eating all these foods that are high phytoestrogens. And, you know, the problem is that once the fat, you know, gets rolling, kind of like a snowball down a hill, the estrogen in there starts producing more fat. So that's why they balloon up and look like a little munchkin.
So what are the top phytoestrogens that folks eat that you say are other than the best to OD on, or do we have any of these in moderation, or you're just a big No,
I just try to avoid them now. Like flax seeds has like 379,000 micrograms per 100 grams, which is about 4 ounces. Soybeans has a little over 100,000 of the micrograms per 4 ounces. Tofu, soy yogurt, sesame has like 8,000 micrograms. And the black beans have like over 5,000, rating of micrograms. So people think that they're eating all these healthy foods, and, 85% of the cancers in our body are estrogen sensitive. So when you keep feeding this estrogen into your body, you're creating, physiologic disturbance.
But it's mainly flax and soy are the big guys?
Yeah, they're the big guys.
Yeah. Are all beans as phyto as black beans? Can you get some other ones that are not so low to have moderation on beans?
Well, yeah, but all beans, basically, and that's why the vegetarian diet, unfortunately, creates a lot of phytoestrogens in your system, because it's the beans and the grains that are high in that.
Even grains are high in phyto. So what kind of are some of your top foods, knowing, believing what you do, that you eat?
Well, I try to eat a high protein. I'm a B-positive blood, so I need animal protein. When I went into macrobiotics in 1980, after 2.5 months, I would have killed for a piece of meat, literally. And so my system requires animal protein. In fact, I had a patient with acute myelocytic leukemia, and the poor guy was a vegetarian for 20 years, and he looked like death warmed over. And, the thing that turned him off about the traditional chemotherapy, he went to two centers and he saw what these people look like. He said, I'd rather die than look like what these people do on chemo. Mm. And, chemo's only, it's a 97% failure rate. Chemo is 3% positive results. That's not good. You couldn't be in business with a 3% profit margin.
Right.
Anyway, so I put him on a whole program. We delineated his splinters and all. And people who have acute myelocytic leukemia on chemo over 65 years old, they live for, 2.5 months. Anyway, it's over 4 years now, and the guy's doing very well. And anyway, the point I want to make is I said, Ed, you got to get on some roadkill. Just get the tire tracks off of it. But he's been starting to eat some animal protein, and, he's recovering. I mean, the guy's getting better.
So things like chicken, good chickens, and or you do beef?
Red
too?
Meat, good red meat. People down red meat. You look, Price and Pottinger did research, right, back in the 30s. They never, ever found a primitive tribe that was strictly vegetarian.
Never. What about fish?
Yeah, again, you got to watch out for the high mercury, fish, the grouper, the
tuna.
Tuna, sailfish, that kind of stuff. They're loaded with mercury. But, fish is good quality, and then don't overcook it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to overcook fish, and it gets rubbery and no fun anyway. You got to be careful with
right.
it. Yeah. Here is from LR. Patrick had a recent guest that recommended ALA virtually for everyone from Germany or Italy. I wonder if Dr. Smith thinks that alpha-lipoic acid would be a good thing for most of us to take ongoing.
Well, you have to get back to what my whole focus is on. What's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
And if your liver needs ALA, then you prescribe it at the optimal minimal dose. I'm not a fan of just shotgunning, just taking things carte blanche mm-hmm. for the sake of taking them.
Mm-hmm.
I try to focus in on the quality of the food, like, the oils that you want. You want to stay away from canola oil and corn oil and all that garbage stuff. Good quality avocado oil, olive oil, dark glass containers so that they're not getting rancid. It's really important. So it's all getting back to basics. Your body needs good quality protein, good quality fats. I get butter from Ireland. The curry butter.
Kerrygold, yeah, we like that.
Oh, my God, it's like you died and went to heaven.
Yeah.
You need good quality fats. You need good quality protein. You need good complex. I mean, for breakfast, I had butternut squash that I made from last night.
Mm-hmm.
And, And then I take, this is crazy, but a good friend of mine from Toronto turned me on to it. I take a 12-ounce glass. I put a quarter of a teaspoon of turmeric, of ginger, of cayenne, of cloves, of cinnamon. I put half a tablespoon of organic cocoa. I put bee pollen in there, half a tablespoon. Mm-hmm. I put the cellular support in there. I put some sea salt, the Himalayan sea salt in there, some raw honey, okay? And I put hot water in there, and I put 18 drops of Crystal Energy, which is Patrick Flanagan's.
Patrick Flanagan. Correct,
yeah. So, and that's my breakfast.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
And so, you know, look, I'm 75 years old, and I'm full of energy. I don't feel my age. My head's clear as a bell. And, you know, I'm going to go out kicking and screaming. I'm not going to be in a nursing home with a tube up every orifice.
Yeah, that's not fun. You know, it's funny you mentioned bee pollen. I've taken bee pollen for years. I don't even talk about it or think about it. It's been so many years. I wonder what goes on with bee pollen and why I keep taking it. What are some of the things that we get from it? And I use organic, of course, the good stuff.
Yeah. It's the most perfect food. I mean, if you were stuck on an island, you know, that's what you want to eat. Yeah, it has all your B vitamins, your minerals, your protein, and it's real food. I mean, look, if the bees can survive off of it, how bad can it be?
I just started doing, I found an organic source for the royal jelly, too, and I haven't taken that for years. Have you ever played
Absolutely.
With that? That's kind of fun, too.
Yeah, because you're putting real food into your body,
and
you're getting the frequency of that food, and that's what really does the healing component.
Sure.
Because, look, homeopathy, how does it work? When you get to a 5X or more dilution, there's no original molecule in the homeopathic remedy. So it's the frequency that's tweaking the physiology of the cell.
The frequency, yeah.
Yeah, it's the frequency. And so basically food is a carrier, it's a matrix for the frequency. And that's what's, it's tuning your cells.
Yeah. It's almost like the real source is spirit or God, you know, chi, you know, that's moving through. And like the broccoli is just a go-between, right? It's just a carrier.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's why, these darn EMFs, people think that this stuff is innocuous. You know, these smart meters, the cell phones, all these towers. It's disrupting your microbiome and your intestines and really messing it up.
Yeah. Nancy writes in, what are suggestions that Dr. Smith might have for a 75-year-old man with tinnitus? He has a great blood pressure, blood work results, and is physically active most days with gardening, yard work. Takes no meds. Let's see. Oh, he uses chewing tobacco and has upper denture. He has been using the healing denture for 2.5 years with great results. I don't know what he means, healing denture. It fits well, but the final denture made several months ago hurts. I'm not sure where she's going with all this. Okay. So let's see.
Chewing tobacco could have some chemicals in there causing vasoconstriction and the ringing in the ears. But a big factor is mercury toxicity can cause ringing, aspirin can cause ringing, and low thyroid can cause ringing because it creates muscle spasms. So and hardening of the arteries. So you know, from my perspective, I'm a big fan of the serrapeptase because the blood vessels in the ear are some of the smallest in the human body, and cleaning that out, you know, it's like a Mr. Plumber, you know, it's Roto-Rooter of all your blood vessels, and that's what's going to give you longevity and better function. So you have to look at some, and then structurally, you could have a bite problem or cranial problem affecting the blood flow through the ear, which is creating the tinnitus.
So that's the main cause, you think, is the inner ear thing?
Yeah, bottom line is I think it's clogging in the arteries and you're getting that hissing noise from the blood flow. And, you know, again, thyroid is a big, big, it's a canary in the coal mine, the thyroid. And so many people have low thyroids because of the chlorine in the water, the fluoride in the toothpaste and in the water, bromine from degassing from the plastic in your car, bleaching agents in your bread and, you know, flour products, they're using bromine, which is garbage. They're all halogens, and they displace the iodine, so it messes up your thyroid. you know, the mercury suppresses thyroid, pesticides suppress thyroid, your polyunsaturated, unfortunately, you're suppressing thyroid function. So, you know, you got all these issues going on, and, you know, unfortunately, most healthcare practitioners, you know, don't connect the dots. They don't see the connection.
Why? I wonder why so many people in the natural community who don't do the bromines and the chlorine, the fluoride, and all the things you, most of the things you mentioned, but still have some thyroid issues and are on Nature Thyroid or, you know, whatever. What do you think's going on?
Your vaccines, your pesticides, they're getting trapped in the thyroid. And, you know, people aren't looking for these things. I'm finding almost 100% glyphosate in patients now.
Hmm.
It's like DDT was, you know, 75 years ago. Look, they found it in the penguins in Antarctica, and they're not spraying up there. This stuff vaporizes, and it gets up into the atmosphere, and it goes all over the place. And glyphosate, you know, it's an antibiotic, and it basically causes leaky gut, causes cancer, you know, allergies. I had a young fellow, 17 years old, who had osteosarcoma, cancer, and one of the splinters in the area where he had the cancer was glyphosate.
Hmm.
And when I got rid of it with a homeopathic, all his allergies totally disappeared, gone.
So have you seen any silver bullets or silver bullet concoctions to help the body disperse glyphosates?
Well, I like Energetics has a product called isopathic phenolic rings.
I beg your pardon?
Isopathic phenolic rings. It's a homeopathic remedy, and it literally pulls chemicals out of the body, and that seems to work the best for the glyphosate so far.
Can folks just get that without a prescription?
Well, I think you can't buy it over the counter.
You can't.
You really have to get it through a healthcare practitioner, I believe.
Say that again now. Isopathic?
Pathic phenolic rings.
Phenolic?
Phenolic. P-H-E-N-O-L-I-C. Phenolic.
Phenolic rings.
Yeah. Hmm.
So generally homeopathic?
Yes.
Hmm. And you've found that I know that most homeopathic medicines, you have to kind of go and dig deep with the patient, either energetically or some other ways, to find one that fits. Is that correct? But you found that this fits for a lot of people to disperse
glyphosate? Yeah, for the majority of people, I'm finding that it's working phenomenally.
Isopathic phenolic rings.
Yeah.
But generally, just a homeopathic, what kind of strength are you using generally?
Well, again, I test these
you
things.
You test, yeah. But,
yeah, because everyone's different. It's a stock dilution. I'd be honest with you, I don't recall the exact potency of it, but it seems to be working across the board for most of my patients.
Isopathic phenolic rings.
Rings,
pretty cool.
And
very, very safe, too. I mean, because homeopathic,
absolutely.
If you take it, could you give that to your animals as well, I wonder?
Oh, of course.
Of course, he says, of course.
Well, it's just like ivermectin, you know, it's a veterinary product, but it works phenomenal for humans too, and it's totally safe for deworming you. You do two doses. It's so simple, two doses a year, 2 weeks apart. And, you know, and the Japanese developed it many years ago, and it saved millions of lives in third world countries because it gets rid of parasites.
Oh, ivermectin, I've heard about that. But I've sure seen a lot of dark things about it that it could possibly do to dogs and livers and stuff, but you think it is safe?
That's 100% safe.
Yeah. And how do you know that?
Well, I've read all the literature on it, and, you know, Dr. Wong recommended very highly. And, you know, I did it on myself. I do it on my patients. And all you do is it's 1 cc per 100 pounds of weight. So that's your dosage, and you just squirt it in the mouth and hold it in there for like a minute and then swallow it, and it's not bad tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks later, you do the same thing. And you do that once a year, and it gets rid of any heartworms or intestinal parasites, along with the diatomaceous earth. I mean, look, you could do all kinds of fancy, you know, deworming and all kinds of things, but the older I get, the more conservative I get, and I want to get things simplistic.
Hmm. Ivermectin. Yeah, I've actually seen it. You can get, I guess, pharmaceutical grades in liquid on Amazon. And
yeah, it's cheap. It's like $27.41 for 50 mls.
And you can pull it out with a little needle
syringe,
and then just, but that's not a lot. So So that would be like a 75-pound dog doodle would be 75...
About three-quarters of a cc.
Oh, that's right, three-quarters of a... And that's not... Yeah. What is a cc in ounces?
It's milliliters. It's, I don't know, ounces. It's a real small amount. Usually the syringes have a cc or milliliter markings on it, and you'll see it as like a quarter, half, three-quarters, one cc. So it's, you can't goof it up.
You have taken this before?
Oh, absolutely. I've done it myself. I do it with my patients.
Really? Have they had seen any guys exit with the...
Yeah, one of my friends, he had some, you know, black tarry stools and junk coming out. But, you know, that's why I think the diatomaceous earth is inexpensive, very efficient way, Roto-Rooter, to clean out the garbage and with parasites and all. So, you know, you can start with that and then do the ivermectin after you run the diatomaceous earth.
What would you suggest, writes Lynn, 74-year-old female in Canada, recently diagnosed with low-grade uterine cancer. Instead of surgery to remove the uterus and ovaries, what expenses would be associated with alternative methods?
Well, again, what's the underlying problem? Does she have any root canals in her mouth that's feeding toxicity down to the uterus? Does she have any metals in the mouth, like partial dentures? I mean, I had women that had like chrome cobalt partials in their mouth, and the darn metals are in the uterus. So, yeah, you got to start looking at underlying issues. Is she exposed to, you know, toxins on a regular basis? Or the key is you want to define what the heck is in the uterus causing the problem. So if she had a biopsy, you certainly can test the histologic slide and determine exactly what the heck's in there.
So you actually look at the area that they're calling, quote, cancer, unquote. And you're looking at that, and you can see specific splinters, metals or chemicals or something in there.
Yeah, pesticides, exactly. And, you know, it's just, you know, give you a nice example. We had a woman in from Iowa a number of years ago that had lupus, systemic lupus, which is a nasty disease. And in my health history, I asked her, did you take any medication during your pregnancy? And she said, yeah, Bendictin, which was equivalent to thalidomide. It was for nausea. Anyway, when I tested her, the Bendictin was trapped in her liver.
The Bendictin was in, was in the liver.
It was trapped in the liver, And they stopped making it in the United States in 1985, and so I couldn't find it in this country. Called my buddy up in Toronto, and they found it at a compounding pharmacist, and she needed a 30C potency. I made it into a homeopathic, and 9 months later, she had no more systemic lupus. So that darn drug that was trapped in her liver was creating her connective tissue disease. It's not really a disease, it's a reaction.
Now, how does this all tie in to the idea that a lot of these things, chronic fatigue and lupus, whatever, are an autoimmune issue? Is that, so can these all be congruent and be the same thing, what you're saying, and also an autoimmune?
Absolutely. See.
So explain that to us, how that could be both.
Yeah, it's real simple.
Okay.
Think about it. Our creator didn't make a perfect specimen to attack itself.
Right.
So, like, my daughter, for example, had Hashimoto's, which is considered autoimmune. And when she told the endocrinologist, oh, my dad's going to treat me alternatively, he says it doesn't work. Well, he didn't know who he was messing with. So, when I tested her, she had Epstein-Barr virus trapped in her thyroid.
Epstein-Barr in the thyroid?
In the thyroid, yeah. It was there from high school because she missed the whole senior year of high school. And the bottom line is, Noni tested strong for her and colloidal silver, and I lent her my Rife machine, and 3 months later, all her blood tests for the thyroid were normal. So the key is to find what's in the organ that, quote, is being attacked by the immune system, remove the splinter, and then there's the end of your autoimmune problem.
Oh, that's really the cause, because the immune system is wonky because the adjuvant or something...
Right.
It's clogged up somewhere, and so you got to get at the cause.
Yeah, like we had another patient that had, quote, Hashimoto's, and she had cytomegalovirus coming from a wisdom tooth extraction in the jawbone from 7 years before, and she had an orthodontic retaining wire, you know, bonded to the back of the lower teeth, and the nickel from the stainless steel migrated out, was in her thyroid. So she had cytomegalovirus from the extraction site in her thyroid and nickel from the stainless steel retaining wire. And when I removed those two splinters, her Hashimoto's disappeared.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, that's another argument for not having any metals in one's mouth. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, they're giving off electronic reactions. In fact, Studebaker from Sweden did impeccable research, and he showed when you have mixed metals in the mouth, like gold fillings, silver fillings, mm-hmm. or mercury fillings, mm-hmm. you get a galvanic current, and the mercury comes out 10 times faster because of the electrical current. It's like a little battery going on in your mm-hmm. mouth.
Dr. Nunley discovered, which I didn't know, that this crown I had in 10 years ago, it was porcelain on the outside and metal on the inside. What's up with that? You know?
Yeah, it's galvanic currents. Even if you have all gold bridge, so, you know, unfortunately, when you cast gold, you're doing it with centripetal force and you're molten gold. And even though it's the same gold formula, when it's spun into the pattern to make the casting, each crown is going to have a different proportion of each of the components of the gold formula. And so you can get galvanic currents just from that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Gerald Smith. It's always fun, so fun to talk to a fellow who's been around. You know, it's like, I kid a lot, Doc, with the, you go on the internet and people doing webinars on anti-aging, you know, and they're 40 years old, you know, it's great. But, you know, talk to somebody who's 75, you know, and, you know what I'm saying?
And it works.
Yeah, it works. You know, I say, you know, talk to somebody 75, 80, or 90, you know, these are the people that understand anti-aging. Anyway, oh my goodness, you know, what we are can get programmed to so easily. Isn't it fascinating? Wow. My goodness. Lance writes in, can you ask your guest his thoughts on replacing extracted dead or infected teeth with implants? Does he recommend it? If so, what materials? So, common question. Folks get their root canal, Lance, you got a little thing there. Are you a fan of implants?
Well, even before that, if a tooth is removed, it's because it failed, either root canal or an infection. So the thing is, you want to meticulously clean out that extraction site when they do that with ozone and homeopathics and colloidal silver in the extraction site and try to get primary closure.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the infection is in the bone and then you put an implant in there, it's going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as far as implants are concerned, the safest one would be zirconia, because mm-hmm. and that's actually a crystal or metal format, but they act literally as antenna for pulling in the EMFs into your jawbone.
The titanium or the zirconia?
Both. I would think both probably do it, but the zirconia probably do it less.
So you'd probably, Dr. Nunley does a lot of these really nice permanent bridges rather than if the two teeth around the neck are strong enough. Do you do that too, or do you recommend that? Yeah. Kind of a nice way to go, because I guess whenever you penetrate the body, it's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely it's a challenge. I have a patient that we ran over here a little bit, but I got to get to.
Okay.
So I don't know how long you want to go with this interview, but I got to get back to work.
Oh, somebody's in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A couple more emails and we'll go, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. So we did that. So if somebody wants to do an implant, you got to be careful, I guess. One, make sure your immune system's strong, and then do zirconia, right?
Yes.
Okay. I have some diatomaceous earth. I bought it years ago for chickens. Is that bad, or should I want to make sure that I get food grade?
You want food grade. Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead and get some. Rose wants to know, does your guest have an opinion about how reversing severe receding gums? It has been recommended to a family member to use cadaver tissue. Is there a natural way to regenerate gum tissue? Perfect for a longtime dentist, for you to kind of wrap it up. This will be our last email. Receding gums, Doc?
Basically, it's a nutritional issue. And I would recommend standard process products because they're protomorphogen and they supply the genetic blueprint to rebuild the bone. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with cadavers, anything foreign.
Yeah. So I suspect that your patient that's in the waiting room, you don't have plastic plants, right?
That's for sure.
Okay. What was the line that you used one time?
Yeah, never trust a doctor who has dying plants in a reception room.
That's right. So, and where are you located if somebody would like to come visit you? Your website is
icnr.com,
where you can get the book and read about some of the success stories. And where are you located outside of Philly?
Langhorne, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, thanks for sticking around so long. Sorry to keep you so long, but you know,
no problem.
We love talking to you. So I'm going to come visit sometime soon.
Absolutely.
I want to get on your little contraption and play around, okay?
Well, thank you.
All right, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Take care.
Dr. Gerald Smith, he's great, isn't he? Man, we just love people like that. I mean, it's cool. We are so blessed to have access to these kinds of people, and that's why we visit with him. And yeah, he takes patients from around the world if you want to, you know, contact him and fly up there and do the whole deal with him. He'll put you on one of those machines. Otherwise, at least you have some ideas about how to get at some of these splinters. I appreciate your ongoing support. Remember that Doodle and I are here for you. We're at your service. Anytime, just email me if I can help you with something. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Dr. Jennifer Daniels tomorrow, Dr. Richard Massey Thursday, Andrew Goss on Wednesday. I love you all very much, and may the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.